Wheelchair ramps, elevators, automatic doors. It's stuff we take for granted these days, but wasn't really a given at all before the Americans with Disabilities Act, a watershed piece of civil rights legislation.
I now lift my pen to sign this Americans with Disabilities Act and say, let the shameful wall of exclusion finally come tumbling down. God bless you all.
Passed in 1990, it requires businesses, schools, and governments to make reasonable accommodations for people with physical and intellectual challenges, and it prohibits discrimination. But 1990 was a long time ago, especially in computer years. As we come up on the 25th anniversary of the ADA, advocates say it's time for the internet to be included in the law. Todd Bookman reports.
It's either 1983 or 1984, and Austin Serafin begs his mom to take him to the electronics store. He wants to check out the new Apple IIe. And remember, computers are not exactly mainstream at this point.
And she said, they were so surprised, you know, they were so shocked. And I said, oh yeah, they must have been shocked that a blind person, especially a blind kid, wanted to use a computer. And she said, no, they were shocked to have customers.
The 2E was a big deal in the history of computing, but it was a really big deal for 7-year-old Austin. It was one of the first machines that had a slot for a sound card, and that meant you could use special software to hear what was on the screen.
In this mode, I can pronounce most words in my English language.
It was fine. It was great for its day. It was totally fine because it was all text, you know?
Games, bulletin boards, early chat rooms, everything was just words and commands. A screen reader leveled the playing field. But then Windows came along, and the mouse became dominant. Soon, websites, images, video. There were now all these things on the screen that Austin was shut out of.
That's when we entered a dark age of accessibility, I think.
This wasn't the first time people with disabilities faced isolation from new technology. For the deaf and hard of hearing, television was difficult terrain until 1972, when WGBH, the public TV station in Boston, unveiled captioning during a cooking show.
This is soup à l'oignon gratiné. I'm just putting a lot of cheese on the top of it. And then a little bit of oil goes on.
Julia Child's The French Chef was a watershed moment in the history of media accessibility. On the web, gains for people with disabilities have been more subtle.
Link home, right up link, just list of 7 items. Link justice management division. Link
we're on the Department of Justice website under accessibility, under internet accessibility.
Angel Ayala is showing off how today's screen readers sound. We're inside the computer lab at Overbrook School for the Blind in Philadelphia. Angel's using the keyboard to tab through all the various links on this government webpage. He's so used to hearing the internet that he's got it turned up to warp speed.
Link sitemap, link archive, link accessibility, link FOIA, link know for your act.
Sitting to Angel's right is sophomore Marvin Pearson, also blind since birth. He's attempting to check his Gmail.
Where's login at? I don't know how this ain't working. Oh, there we go.
This is how it goes for these kids. For lots of people with disabilities, everything on the web is a little slower, a little more frustrating. But both still use it the way other high schoolers do. Marvin has Facebook and Twitter accounts. Angel is applying to colleges online. They say some sites work well and some just don't.
That's a huge problem with people who can't see the screen and have to deal with these graphics and PDFs and other things that aren't presented to us the same way it's presented to you.
To make a website accessible, it doesn't need to be all text or cluttered with captions or stripped of graphics. Most of the time, the changes are relatively minor fixes web developers make to the back-end code, where the screen reader picks up its instructions. Links need to be clearly labeled. Images need descriptions. Sighted people wouldn't see any difference. And when the coding is done right, it's the digital equivalent of a wheelchair ramp, the type of protection that the Americans with Disabilities Act helped make widespread. Advocates say the web now needs those same safeguards.
This is beyond just mere conveniences like shopping online.
Chris Danielson is Director of Public Relations for the National Federation of the Blind.
This deals with education and, you know, employment, being able to do so many things that I just don't think it's realistic to say in the 21st century that websites don't have to be ADA compliant.
On this point, the United States Department of Justice appears to be on Danielson's side. The DOJ is working on regulations to spell out exactly what an ADA compliant site is and to clarify which websites would have to meet those standards. These rules are scheduled to come out next month, though they've been delayed several times already.
We are hoping that they will contain a very robust interpretation of what needs to be covered, but there's just no way to know at this point, and it's very frustrating that the wait continues.
In the absence of laws, lawsuits have been the go-to strategy for disabilities rights groups. In 2006, Target was sued because while their brick-and-mortar stores were accessible, their website wasn't. In a settlement, the retailer agreed to overhaul its online service. There's also been complaints filed against Netflix, some big banks, and universities, including Penn State. But for a lot of sites, it was customers, not courts, that led to improvements.
Travis Ishikawa hits one in the right! The Giants win the pennant!
5 years ago, a group complained to Major League Baseball that much of their online content was difficult to use.
It was really a great grassroots initiative of baseball fans, particularly visually impaired baseball fans, who wanted that level of access, you know, to their games, particularly live games.
This is Matthew Gould with MLB Advanced Media. He says they just honestly didn't know the site wasn't working well for everyone. So when it was brought to their attention, coders made the improvements. At tech giant Yahoo, there's now an entire building on their Silicon Valley campus where people with disabilities play around on prototypes, identifying bugs before new products hit the market. Larry Goldberg is the company's director of accessible media.
All of the Silicon Valley companies really have people dedicated to the task. PayPal and Intuit and Google and Facebook and JP Morgan Chase, so many companies are putting really substantive efforts in, not just Yahoo.
And those efforts now extend into mobile technology. Smartphones, including the iPhone, come preloaded with screen readers. Austin Serafin, who still has his Apple IIe in a box somewhere, makes his living as a web accessibility consultant, helping companies craft technology that works seamlessly.
It's not just about helping the blind or whatever. It's about making a better website for everyone.
Because he says if a site or app is well designed from the ground up, people, no matter their ability, will be more likely to use it. For The Pulse, I'm Todd Bookman.